Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today is episode 3. We have Lawrence Yu as a guest. Lawrence is the lead pastor of the Waypoint Church in Durham. Hello, Lawrence. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks so much for coming again.
Well, my pleasure.
And I would love to hear your future vision for Asian Americans in this episode. Now, can you tell me about the biggest need among Asian Americans in North Carolina?
Good question. So, I believe that my vision, and it might look a little different, in my opinion, from other people's visions. I don't want to offend anybody. This is just my limited knowledge, my thought process from my perspective. But I think I would love to see the Asian American population step into a different role in America and in the dialogue of America. I think so often the Asian American population has been content to be successful in the model of, oh, we're successful in the world of America, but we're still kind of pocketed, reclusive to ourselves and our people group. You know, and I've seen that comment happening over and over again. We see this very commonly in the type of churches we have. But I also see this often in the second generation, where, and I understand, but where people who are grew up going to high school, middle school, elementary school, college, who work with largely majority context people groups and everything, they still have their EM ministry service and their people where they just kind of really congregate together instead of offering the beautiful gifts that they bring to the life of the whole church and the role that they can play in the life of the whole church and the dialogue that's going on with race relations and the life of America. They're not entering into that those spheres. They're kind of stepping back away from it. And I believe there's such a need for Asian Americans to step into those spheres, step into those arenas, step out of comfort zones, and to enter into those type places.
What do you think the reason why they are stepping back?
I think it's comfort. It's just the same reason why there's African-American churches or Latin-American churches. There's a shared identity, a shared culture, a shared comfort. It's the way, you know, it's the why the rich white church, all them get gathered together, you know, or whatever it may be. There's a shared comfort, there's a shared upbringing, a shared understanding that brings comfort. And so I understand it. But I think the challenge would be to step out of your comfort zone.
What can really break their being comfort in their own setting?
I think the gospel. I think the gospel says that the gospel wasn't given. Jesus didn't die upon the cross and inaugurate his kingdom so that we can be comfortable. You know, he did it so that his kingdom can advance and we can seek the welfare of the city advances the kingdom. And so I think if we understood the vision and the mission and the specific role and place that Asian Americans could have in that, I think that would awaken people to say, yes, I'll step out of my comfort zone. Yes. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. You know, specifically speaking, I know there's so many. I went to seminary with amazing Asian American seminary students who are amazing pastors. But there's only a limited number of Asian American churches that they're going to get jobs at. But they won't even they don't even think about getting jobs, trying to go jobs in majority context churches. Now, mind you, I understand because they probably won't get those jobs. It's not easy. But if we can start pushing, stretching, and start getting out of our comfort zone, start attempting to speak in a different context, you know, then we can start seeing change happen. You know, we can start seeing a move that I think as Asian Americans, we can play a unique role in being a bridge in so many race relations, so much of you know, we have so much to offer the larger church body. And I feel like we're limiting it and keeping it to just a small segment of people.
Well, can you give me some examples of the contribution that Asian Americans can bring to advance the kingdom?
Absolutely. I have a friend of mine, I won't name any names right now, but he's an African-American pastor in a largely white context. He feels that he can vent to me all day. He's like, you know, this church I work at, they're great people, majority white context, all white leadership, but he says they don't understand me or my culture. But he can vent to me about it because I'm not white. he understands that, yes, I feel you, I understand that. There's that bridge that we can play, specifically in the white-black kind of racial divide that we see in Durham, and we see in North Carolina, and we see all around the United States. We can play a role rather than being... So a lot of studies have been done about the whole model minority myth, how it was created so that we can place a wedge between white-black relations even more so. You know, this idea of, well, look at the Asians, they're doing well, what's wrong with you guys? But if we revolt against that idea and say, no, let's build a bridge, let's build relationships, let's understand each other and understand what it means to be a minority, in this context, there's a connecting point. And that's, but at the same time, I hate to say it, but it's just reality of the world. Often Asians are considered safer, a safer minority for a lot of white people to build relationship with. So there's a unique role that God might have placed us for such a unique time as this.
Now, one of my vision is to develop leadership pipeline among Asian Americans. You mentioned about there were a lot of great, bright, brilliant Asian Americans, but because of that comfort issue, they were not really stepping up. Now, what are the practical ways to develop Asian Americans?
Yes.
And to really help them to step out of their comfort zone?
Giving opportunities. You know, there's a lot of Asian Americans, specifically like my mother, I shared earlier, who said, you better get better Korean. That's the only way you'll get a job. If we show that there are opportunities to serve, there are opportunities for jobs, there are opportunities where you'd be useful and you're needed, more leaders will rise up. More people will say, well, I'm needed. I could be useful. I think right now there seems to be a lack of those opportunities for young leaders. If we create and give more opportunities, I think that would help build up this pipeline so much quicker. And so very specifically speaking, like, you know, giving opportunities for Asian young leaders to speak, do youth ministry, do college ministry. You know, if you notice, look at all most college ministries in America right now. What is one thing you notice? That they're most support-based ministries. Right. And so who's in support-based ministries? White people. So you look at Crusade, you look at InterVarsity, you look at Outreach. And I love these ministries. I'm not speaking negatively about them whatsoever. But support-based ministries work well in a white context. Does not work well in an Asian or an African-American. And so what are we doing? Well, the people who are really good at making disciples, because they are, Crusade, InterVarsity, Outreach, they're phenomenal at making disciples. But they're only making white disciples because the staff are all white. Do you see what I'm saying? So if we can create opportunities for disciple making, for leadership opportunities, that's what's needed.
That's great. Now, how can second generation Asian Americans impact and help first generation immigrants?
Well, yeah, it's funny. Very practically speaking, I grew up calling the cable company, the electric company, translating for my parents, you know. I still remember the day. Even now, my parents don't know what a 401k is. Even now, they don't know what that is, you know. My parents, I work, it's so funny to me because I work with refugees all the time now. And as I see them, I can't help but remember and think about, how's my parents? They weren't necessarily refugees, but they were immigrants to a new country. And I look at that, I'm like, wow, what if my parents would have had this much help? What could have happened? And I often think of refugees as I work with them, thinking like, what if you guys were my family? But you know what's also beautiful is that when they look at me and my wife, these refugees, and I tell them my parents, we were just exactly in your shoes, they get such hope. It's like, that's why we came to America, because we want our children to turn out like you and your wife. You know? So I think there's so much second generation has already been doing to help the first generation. The problem is what happens to second generation in ethnic centered churches is they go off and they form their own EM ministry. So they go off and they form their own EM, so they've kind of created two separate churches in one. The EM needs the KM or Korean ministry's money or their facility, because they kind of started off small because they're all young. They're all teenagers or early 20s, so they don't have the money yet. So they've kind of created these two separate entities, if you will. But then they start thinking, well, I don't want to be told what to do by the Korean ministry. Then they start separating even more so. And then they go off and maybe go plant themselves as a new church, and then often fails. You know? Instead of learning how to work together. Now, why doesn't it work working together? Because we've created this idea that you need to be culturally specific. And those are two separate cultures. First generation, second generation are two separate cultures. So then this idea of, well, we have to create separate culture ministries, well, then those are not right cultures. So obviously they split, don't help each other out. But if we created a church model that said we're multicultural, you don't have to be monolithic in one culture, or not lithic, that's one rock, but you don't have to be just one culture, then we show that then we can bring multiple cultures together so that we actually be the body that meets the needs that other parts of the body lacks, you know? And so this is why I like the model of not having to be so one culture in our churches.
Well, that's great, because I've been looking for a lot of different church models among the Asian American and ethnic churches. Mostly first generation is kind of dominant, and second generation is being functioning like a youth group, but your church is more kind of opposite. The second generation Asian Americans and other ethnic groups are being in a huge role, and all of them are actually functioning as missionaries and serving one another and helping one another. I think that's a great example.
We're actually, something that we're about to start is we're about to take on underneath our wing a Chinese first generation ministry church.
Wow.
So this is a first generation church that has 25 people in it. This is all in Chinese, and so they're about to come possibly underneath our church as being a part of our church. So they would have come to our worship service, but they have a separate heart language, fellowship, meeting time. They meet on like maybe a Friday night, and they're going to meet and do their Bible study, their fellowship time together. But they're connected with our church. So they have all the English language teachers. They have the partners. They have the ministry support. They have the knowledge base. They have the facilities. You know, and that's our Chinese language. We're about to start one in Arabic and French so that we're supporting the first generation as well, you know, so that we're all multicultural in all generations in one church body, so that we get the fullness of the whole body at work to support each other.
In your current church ministry, do you see second generation Asian American leaders are stepping up to be the bridge between first and second generation in your church ministry?
Yes. Yes, I would love them to do more, though. I think this kind of taking on ministry underneath us is going to give them the more opportunity. Because I think right now, the first generation often, especially in this area, because it's a wealthier area, feels that they're okay. You know? It's the churches like this one that has 20 people that needs help. So those are the ones that are like, okay, can you help us? But the ones that are very, you know, the ones that are big, that has enough money, they don't feel like, oh, we like being our little first generation church. What they don't realize, especially in the Korean churches, is my prediction, we're seeing less and less a flow of immigrant population. And if you're only fishing from one type of fish, you know, a very specific fish, which is only new Korean immigrants, and there's a lot of other Korean churches out there, you're not going to grow. If that's the only way you're growing, is just, you know, I think that's a, if you will, a recipe for kind of the decline of a church.
How can dominant, I'll say, Anglo churches work with minority, like Asian or African-American churches for the kingdom of God? How can they work together?
Well, I think, here's the thing, I think they are working together in many instances, but I think they're just working together for an occasional event, you know? And when we divide our churches up like that, oh, you're the white church, you're the black church, you're the Korean church, you're the whatever church, that's all it is. It's just an occasional meeting for the, oh, hey, we got together, we did a backyard carnival, and or we did an outreach, and yay, feel good about ourselves, pat ourselves on the back, and then we go back. I am not trying to make fun of that, and I'm not trying to put that down. But if all you're doing is coming together, I mean, we do that at work, right? If you work at the hospital, wherever you work, you have people from all of the college race together, but it doesn't mean you're family. It doesn't mean you care for each other. I think it takes more than just coming together every once in a while. It takes intentional relationship. It takes intentional vulnerability. It takes intentional stepping out of our comfort zone to build relationships. You know, it takes somebody in my church coming up to me, you know, and saying, you know, I'm, as an African-American man, you know, or as an African-American woman came up to me, and she goes to Central. And she literally said, you know, at Central, all the classes, all the people I'm talking to said, I should hate white people. honestly, that's the way a lot of the stuff I'm hearing. But I love, you know, I love our Cersei pastor. I love the white people in this church. You know? And it's just, it takes that relationship. It takes the honesty and the vulnerability to speak in a relationship like that. And we're not going to get there if we just keep on dividing our churches. You know? So that's what I believe.
A lot of listeners of this podcast are Asian American leaders or church leaders. Now, what do you want to say to them? Do you have any word of encouragement?
Yeah. My word of encouragement is this. Guys, I am not saying that leading an Asian American church is a negative thing. I'm not saying ethnic churches are a negative thing. I'm saying challenge yourself, step out of your comfort zone, and don't just be targeted in one way. You know, and God might not open, He might not open the floodgates and be like, oh, all of a sudden you have every people from every life group in your church. I'm saying be intentional about your own personal relationships. How many people of color or not color, how many people, different ethnicities and cultures are you friends with? Are you meeting with? Are you being poured into? How many people of different races and colors of authors are you reading? You know, if you're only reading all white authors, look into that. If you're only reading all Korean authors, if all your friends are just Korean, look into that. You know? Live life intentionally. You know, not just comfortably, but intentionally. And raise up and encourage other young leaders in your church to step out. Give them opportunities to step out and learn.
Thank you, Lauren, so much for sharing your heart, your passion.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for what God is going to do through your church, through your life. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much, and I will see you in the next episode.